everybody, and welcome to the Fortress of Comic News, episode 189. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside the luxurious Mike.
Did you run the generator again?
I didn't. I came up with that as I was flowing out of my mouth.
Wow, that had some nice flow to it, I will say so. That was, that was good. I appreciate that one. It feels good to be back. Go ahead.
Did you enjoy your week off?
Oh, it was great. I even listened to Fortress of Comic News with my extra time that I had. great episode. Well done, Chris. And thanks to, help me out here.
The boys over at I Freaking Love
Comics. I Freaking Love Comics. I knew it was I Love Comics and there was a word there. I just didn't want to butcher it. They did a great job. And I'm still sorry you haven't found any more Walking Dead fans to talk to, but I keep trying. And
I'm told they're out there.
This podcast is going to turn into you looking for other Walking Dead fans to talk to Walking Dead about. I'm sorry. I had to bring that part up. That was like my favorite part of the show. I'm like, see, I don't feel so bad not, conversing with you about Walking Dead.
See, now, here's a little bit of like secret history. Back, like, I think it was season 3 of the Walking Dead, like, when Walking Dead was everywhere, I was asked to do a Walking Dead podcast, like a weekly thing, and I was kind of like, no, I don't want to talk about Walking Dead every week.
Right.
Now, I would kill to have somebody else in this world that wants to talk about that show with me.
You're living the apocalypse of not, there's not, no human, there's humans around, but no humans that watch the Walking Dead. You're living The Walking Dead, bro.
It's cool. They keep making the show for me, apparently.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we'll just run the Walking Dead news.
So real quick, before we get into all that, everyone remember, we got the Discord channel. So the link's down below if you want to come and chat with us and other fine people that love comics. So check that out.
Chat with us. We'll talk about comics and other stuff. TV news, as previously discussed, The Walking Dead is extending its 10th season with 6 more episodes. We've been given more info on these episodes, including titles for every episode, which we won't go through. We won't go through them all here, but a premiere date, February 28th, and the addition of Robert Patrick to the cast. Any big news there?
I mean, he was in Terminator 2, I think.
He's the liquid metal guy, right?
I think so.
So is he? Is that dude at the 6 last episodes, or he comes from the future to eliminate the Walking Dead as a Terminator?
That'd be pretty fantastic. I'm not gonna lie.
Take my money. That's the only big news out of that happening is like that if that happens. But other than that, that would get me to watch The Walking Dead again. Just saying.
It's more Walking Dead. I'll watch it. I really enjoyed the season finale, which I realized I talked about it last week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Popped up on my Amazon because I buy the seasons before they come out.
Oh.
And I'm like, this has been out for months now, or at least a month, and I had no clue. So they did a real good job of telling people about that.
Right, yeah. Especially during a pandemic where, you want more things to watch.
Huh. Exactly. But, 6 more episodes, let's do it. Bring it on. Negan's wife is going to be in this. Robert Patrick's in this. We got some crazy dude with, like, mini scythes cutting people up. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Yeah,
I'm down. I know I'm the only one, but I am down.
Chris is down. Nice job, Walking Dead. You did it. You watching Mandalorian? We just had episode 4 Friday. What do you think? Did you catch up?
Dude, yeah, Mandalorian's so fucking good.
So good. I mean, little spoilers here, but all the name drops, the character drops we're getting, they're going full-fledged, like, Star Wars fans, unite, this is it, man. It is just such good television.
Yeah, and they're like, dipping into different parts of Star Wars fandom, too. Like, last week we had all the Clone Wars and Rebels characters, the mention of Ahsoka Tano, which is like, yes, do that now.
Right.
And then this week they dipped into the current Disney trilogy with, not only did they just like jab at fans by saying basically saying midichlorians.
Yeah, they said M count.
Yeah, but the idea that possibly what was... So the theory behind that now is that those were clones of Palpatine.
Right.
But they weren't able to get the force inside of him, so they're using the child to get midichlorians into his bloodstream, which...
Right.
Yes. Make midichlorians great again. And just the idea that, like, we probably saw an early version of Palpatine or Snoke in that tube.
Yeah, right.
Connects, like, everything about this show needs more all the time. Inject it right into my veins.
Another thing that came out of Disney Plus this weekend was the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes. Lego I didn't get a chance Christmas to watch special. It.
But... I will say this. It's very self-aware of the all the things that Star Wars has done wrong and the fans have complained about. Basically, I'm not going to spoil it, but Rey does like a Scrooge thing where she goes through time at all like the big events throughout the Star Wars trilogies, all the trilogies. And oh my god, they really make fun of like the, you know, the relationship of like Kylo Ren being like a fanboy, and then we go see Luke on looking at the binary suns, and like they do stupid shit like he's sipping on like a carton of blue milk and he's just like a whiny brat, and like, oh my god, it's so great, like the way they just like Disney's like, let's just make fun of ourselves and all the shit that we've done. It's great. Like even make like they run jokes about like, oh, the Death Star. Oh, the Death Star 2. What should we name the third one? Oh, Starkiller Base. Oh, that's a terrible name and all this shit. You know, it's so funny. Yeah, you're really going to like it.
So, not to go back to Mandalorian, but let's go back to Mandalorian.
Sure.
Because this theory popped up and I wanted to discuss it with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, so A, they completely fixed the whole never take the helmet off thing.
Right.
That's been a problem forever. But... Did you see the theory going around that Boba Fett might get new armor and that it would be the all white original armor from the holiday special?
Oh my god. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so somebody threw that out there, like, you know, because Mando has his original armor.
Right.
And then, like, what if he gets new armor? And that was like, they mocked it up and did like a more realistic version of it to make it a little bit cooler. But I was like, if that happens, Favreau, it gets a free pass to do whatever he wants for the rest of his life. He can murder people. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I did not hear that. That's actually really funny.
I love that theory. It's
but
great.
The Christmas special never happened.
Oh, it did. I have it in this room.
Okay,
so,
good.
No, I don't, Disney. I don't have it. Don't come.
The ninjas are about to burst through your window. Oh, man. Yeah, all the Disney Plus Star Wars stuff has been great. Mando is so good. It's like such a thrill to watch every weekend, you know, or every Friday night. They're doing great stuff there.
Yeah, I saw news about Bad Batch. More stuff happening there. Like not news worth like discussing, but just like, hey, Bad Batch is still happening. They were talking about this. I'm like, oh, Bad Batch is coming.
Yep.
Yes, do it.
Hell yeah.
Going back to Walking Dead, guess what I watch?
What?
I started that Walking Dead World Beyond or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, that Batman
and,
Beyond.
And shocking everybody, I liked it.
Oh, really?
It's kind of cool. It takes place like 10 years in the future, and they got this like settlement. And there's little things in there like... Everybody's rooms, you have like they have these doors that can't be opened by zombies.
Oh, of course.
So that if you die like and you come back, they can take care of you and like all this other weird stuff. But it's really these kids going to save their father and they go out to the world the first time, and it's, you know, it's fun, it's interesting. I only watched an episode and a half so far because I found out I could watch the first episode for free, so I'm like, oh, let's check this out.
Okay.
Well, I liked it.
That's interesting. You liked it because it looked awful to me. But
it, if you remember, it looked awful to me too.
Yeah. That's I'm
but
glad.
But then
you
the Robert Kirkman magic washed over me.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes, you're born again. Movie talk, new Justice League Snyder Cut trailer. Nothing too crazy coming out of that. Just a little reminder that Snyder Cut is coming.
Yeah, I watched it and I couldn't tell what was new and what was old.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like more of the same to me because it was the same song.
Right.
And it was the same, like, black and white, and it had Darkseid whipping his hammer around and shit, but...
Yep.
More
Darkseid doing shit.
Just give me this movie already.
Yeah, I mean, we're already invested. And now, we'll talk about the other stuff coming up, but Sylvester Stallone has joined the cast of Suicide Squad after the filming is finished. Interesting.
Yeah, so which one of Polka Dot's amazing friends could he be?
So the weird thing is I rewatched the latest Guardians movie and Sylvester Stallone shows up and he's one of the Guardian 3000, right? He's I forget what his character name is. And I've read the Guardian 3000 stuff as far as like Marvel comics I've read, which is like obscure. And I always thought they were going to come back and do like a movie Guardians 3000, you know. I don't know if that was still the plan, but I'm wondering if, like, they brought in Sylvester Stallone. I mean, he's a big name, right? So maybe they give him a popular character? I don't know.
Do we know who's playing King Shark?
Oh. I thought we did. Maybe we did.
I feel like we did, too, but that's the first thing that came to mind. Because if he really
Oh my God!
Doing the slurs and everything.
I want that dumbass King Shark. Oh my God! Please.
Yeah, but other than that, like, because Weasel's obviously going to be what's his face's brother,
right?
And everybody else is spoken for.
Yeah. Oh my God! Please.
Unless he's Starro, that would be hilarious.
Oh. Yeah.
Because the rumor is that Starro is the villain. But...
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Actually, I want that now. Fuck King Shark. I want...
Yeah, like... Starro in your head, like... Like, oh my God, could you... Like, what voice would you imagine for Starro? That would be it. Oh my God. Because he's supposed to be... He's not like a young being, right? He's supposed to be older.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Please.
Hey, Polka Dot Man. No, wait, that's Yogi Bear.
That's Yogi Bear. They're pretty similar if you think about it. I don't know. Oh, my God. I can't wait. I don't care who he... Like, either I'd be happy with either of those two. If it was Starro or if it was King Shark, I think I would be satisfied.
It's that or he's playing somebody for Polka Dot Man and His Amazing Friends number 2. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be in, like, the after credits sequence, and they're just filming something real quick to throw in there.
Yeah, so Sylvester Stallone on the cast list is rated third from the top, which is, like, usually they rate them as, like, how much they're paid, right? Or at least I thought, like, top billed cast on IMDb. But also... For some reason, I thought Taika Waititi was King Shark. But so Taika's on there, too. They're both unlisted, though. So, like, everybody else is on there except King Shark. I don't see King Shark listed. So maybe it is King Shark. Dude.
Yeah, he's third from the top.
Yeah. So I think he might have a bigger role than we think.
Well, this can't be right, because if it was the most paid, you would have paid David
Dasmalchian
the most, because he's in the title.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Anyways.
And yeah, right here, Sean Gunn's Weasel. So that's...
Yeah. I think we're pretty close to this, Chris. I don't know.
And I think you're right. I thought... Taika, whatever his name is, was King Shark.
Waititi. But I'm not sure. I mean, maybe he's the... I mean, he could be the voice of Starro, too, right? I mean, it's not listed, so... Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, it pops right up. Who is Taika?
So, Taika, for recent stuff for people, he did IG-11's voice on Mandalorian.
Yeah, and so he played Korg as well.
Yeah, so he could either be... I mean, if he's doing voice acting, so maybe Stallone is Starro. That'd be awesome. I think that would fit with like the tone of the movie. You know, like he's just in your head because he communicates telepathically. So like you have this telepathic being that just sounds like an idiot. Why not?
Like, yeah, I'm inside your head.
You know?
Yeah, I think Taika is playing King Shark.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, like, this article doesn't say specifically he's playing King Shark, but they make a very compelling argument for it. So I'm like, that makes sense. Because they said King Shark and this is supposed to be a little bit wackier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make some, like, I guess King Shark is from Hawaii and so is Taika Waititi.
Okay.
Well, so yeah,
he could just be reprising James or John Rambo. Who knows? Just show
I
up.
I forgot. I still need to watch Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that. I'm getting.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, we got an interview to get to. So
Sylvester Stallone is Starro. Do it.
Yes, please. Marvel and Disney have decided to move forward with Deadpool 3. Shocker. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of money made. New writers have been tapped to do the script for the movie, and Ryan Reynolds is returning to produce, and I think he's going to be playing Deadpool. I'm pretty certain. Yeah, he's going to be playing Deadpool. So that's, you know, hot off the press. Chris hates Deadpool. They're going to print a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. This one will be, like, this one will go from a C- to like maybe a B+ if it goes to the scale, the Chris scale, because it went from fucking F- mm-hmm. minus to a C-, because mm-hmm. Deadpool 2 is okay. I liked it. So now this one might be good.
Mm. But either way, it's going to make a lot of money, I think.
Yeah, it'll make a ton of money and it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I'm sure Ryan Reynolds is pumped to do it. Why would you not want to play Deadpool again?
And also, it's not like you were going to do Deadpool in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. Everybody, let's be real with ourselves. You're not going to do that. So why not just let it happen?
Yeah. And I mean, just let it happen. They'll make a lot of money. Everybody will enjoy it. The big bomb this week, though, I feel like I shouldn't get HBO Max yet because each week that I hold off not getting HBO Max, they give you another reason to try to buy it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to get HBO Max now.
Right. Like, WB announced that Wonder Woman 1984 will come out December 25th, Christmas Day. Amazing. Okay. It's going to hit theaters. But they also said that the movie's going to premiere on HBO Max the same day, and they even said it in the title thing, no additional cost to subscribers. Wow.
What? So, the no additional cost of subscribers is a jab at Disney, 100%. Oh,
yeah. Right. And, yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah. Number one. That aside, because that was bullshit, and I'll even say it. But that aside, this is awesome.
Yeah. This is awesome. I know.
Like, I already have HBO Max, so cool. Now I get this movie on top of it.
Right. And it's something to do on Christmas Day with the family.
And it's what I said Disney needs to do. They're like, they need to put Black Widow out on Disney Plus and just get it over with.
Right.
Like, I get it. You spent a lot of money on this movie, but just, you need to just do something with it and move on. Because all it's doing is moving, no offense to Black Widow, but it's moving movies I'm really looking forward to back, and that's just making me mad.
Grr.
But on top of that, it's just like, just do it. Like, the movie's now over a year old at this point. It was supposed to come out like 6-7 months ago and never did. That aside, this is amazing. Congrats to WB for doing the right thing and doing an awesome thing. I am excited to abandon my entire family on Christmas Day and go watch Wonder Woman.
Wow. I don't know if that's the thing they're going for. I think they want you to sit with your family on Christmas Day and watch it, but
no.
Okay.
I don't want them in the room.
That's fair enough. But who we do want in the room is the guys from Wayward Raven. So stay tuned, everybody. And we're going to do an awesome interview with them, talk about their Kickstarter project they're doing, and we'll see everybody on the other side.
Welcome back, everybody. We want to welcome to the show we thought this was just the perfect way to end our interviews for 2020 with two gentlemen who we love having the show. So everybody welcome the guys from Wayward Raven. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going?
It's been a while.
For starters, it's funny you call us gentlemen. I'm just pointing that one out.
we have a lot of people fooled, Mark.
With beards like that, there can be nothing other than gentlemen.
I know. It's really interesting. Like, it's been a while. You guys have beards now. Things seem more sophisticated. I don't know. Maybe they're not.
Smokescreen. It's a smokescreen.
If everybody remembers, we all met a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away at a con. Remember those guys?
Like as if like you know we were trying to swindle you out of money.
Oh well, that's the double entendre of the Comic Con.
To anyone that doesn't know the story, it was basically like, these guys got some cool comics, let's look at them. And then, Mark, I believe you said, if you buy 4 comics, you get a free beer. And Mike and I are both just like, we like beer.
Yeah.
And we became friends from that moment forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the greatest hook we have, man. You know, and that's why not having cons is killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We have all this beer with nothing to do with it. Well, I mean, I guess we could drink it, right, Mark?
Yeah. Imagine. What would we do with a bunch of beer?
Actually, you might appreciate this. So I got it into my head to make beef stew, you know, because I've been just cooking like crazy now.
Yeah.
And right. I'm like, well, you know what? I like, you know, let me try. Like last time I made beef stew, I used Guinness. Let me try to use a more flavorful beer this time. I managed to get this Imperial Stout and I cook with it and I'm like, oh my God, this is delicious. And I'm having my wife try it and she's like, it tastes like beer. Like, yeah. Right? Isn't it awesome? She's like, No, it's not.
Did you add bacon for like the next level up?
There you go.
Oh no, but that's not a bad idea. I've been saving my bacon for mac and cheese that I'm going to be making for Thanksgiving. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm over to your house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what? No, you're not. Socially distant, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. I got my
mask. It's fine.
I want to see you try to shovel mac and cheese under your mask.
I'm just going to be outside of my window with like a bowl of mac and cheese, just like my neighbors. You want some?
The spoon comes out the window, you just drop it in their bowl.
Bring a glass cutter.
He leaves it to cool on the windowsill.
My neighbor does catch me in the grill. He's just like, what you doing there, neighbor?
Well, if you don't have a Damn Heroes strip about making mac and cheese and someone like stealing it.
Now we do.
Huh?
Now we do. I'm in process of writing some new ones, so that could make the short list.
All right. Well, I mean, let's just jump into what is Damn Heroes? What is Wayward Raven, guys? Give us the rundown quick. I mean, we haven't seen you in a while. We do want to advertise for you a little bit, but I mean, mm-hmm. like hanging out too. So
yeah. So we are a publishing company, you know, an indie publisher. It's predominantly Alex, myself, and Joshua Jones, who's not here tonight, but you know, we have a lot of folks that, you know, actually James Emmett is part of what we do. We're doing the Committee 3 we're working on right now. We do children's books, comics, graphic novels, web comics, a little bit of prose here and there. So yeah, a little bit of everything, really. There we go. Kids book.
Yeah, the Percy Absolutely. Thing's new, right? I mean, that is it
reasonably. Yeah.
A couple years ago, Mark did a kid's book, and we had a lady from Brooklyn do it in watercolors.
It's been a
really good book. Let me see if I can find some cool stuff. Yeah, some of the pages.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the watercolor piece really gave it this really cool sort of feel to it, and yeah, absolutely. She's a phenomenal artist. So
yeah, we actually do have another kid's book that's kind of under the radar right now. We haven't officially launched it yet. But yeah. We've been trying to find the right way of doing that.
Josh is planning. Has been planting the seed that maybe we kickstart that. Mm-hmm. But that will be a next year sort of thing, I think, once we, you know, have finished this campaign, do a dissection on it, and kind of figure out from there. But
so that's a good transition, because traditionally you guys haven't done Kickstarters. You've really depended on the face-to-face contact of Comic-Con. In this world that we're in now, unfortunately, we cannot do Comic-Cons for... doesn't seem like anytime soon.
Yeah.
So, A, how has that affected what you guys are doing in the comics realm? And B, how did that lead to this Kickstarter that you're now doing?
Sure. So, well, I think we came to the realization that, and like I think a lot of us did, that if we can't get in front of you with a con, we need to find another way to do it. You know, we have done Kickstarters in the past. We actually did three crowdfunding campaigns prior to this. Two were successful. The first one we did, we had no idea what we were doing, and that went horribly awry. I'll just leave it at that. But we learned a little bit, you know, and it really isn't our preference, because we like to get in front of people. We like to talk to people, as you guys have seen. I mean, and frankly, we like sharing. We like giving someone a little bit extra. That's kind of where the whole beer idea came from, is, you know, I've been homebrewing. It's come out reasonably well. We like being able to give people a little bit extra, let them remember us, come back. And so it's a little bit tougher, but I think that we still have a following. We still have folks that are looking for the next book. I know that things are a little bit weird at the end of the year right now, and 2020 has been kind of ugly for everybody, but, it's been another avenue for us. And I think that when we get back to cons, we'll probably continue to do some of this too. And, you know, mix it into our repertoire, but yeah, but that's kind of the big thing. I think we figured out, like everybody else did, if I want to get in front of people, I need to find a way to do it digitally.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one other thing we've been doing too is we've been doing a lot more conversations like this with our friends and fans. A lot of, you know, over the years that we've been doing this, we've been meeting a lot of people who've gone on to do their own podcasts and YouTube channels and stuff like that. So we've been getting a little more involved in that as well. It doesn't give us the same rewards as like the con experience. But it's been good, because especially this is like, in many ways, it's like getting ourselves reacquainted with old friends and giving us an excuse to kind of socialize, you know, so that's been kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if someone found their way up here and, you know, promote, you know, and back the Kickstarter and wanted to find a way up to Connecticut, I'd happily give them a couple beers. But
yeah, you know,
it's a little bit tougher. Not something to let me ship in the mail, certainly, you know.
Yeah, shipping alcohol is a little tough, especially state by state having different rules on it.
There's like weird limbo rules. They put in like, because I did order beer recently, because I live in Massachusetts, and I ordered beer, not to get off too far off the subject. We'll get to the Kickstarter, I swear.
Yeah.
But I ordered beer from Raleigh, North Carolina, from a place called Burial. And they said they're shipping to certain states nationally, so I was working from home, so I was home to pick up the beer, and they had all these stipulations, like, you need to, we're temporarily letting, you know, the U.S. Postal Service letting us do this, you have to sign for it, you have to do all this stuff, present your ID, you have to be home. And so I get a call, you know, middle of the day, like 11 o'clock, and the guy goes, hey, I got your beer. And I'm like, oh, great. And so I run down the stairs of my apartment complex, and he goes, oh, you know, I won't make you sign for a whole COVID thing. He just hands me this giant box of beer, and he walks away. And I didn't sign for it. I didn't show my ID. I was like, yeah, I'm glad I was the guy who ordered the beer, because it could have been like one of my neighbors just like walking outside.
He's like, you look trustworthy.
Yeah, he's like, you don't drink beer.
You look like a guy that likes beer.
He's like, no signing COVID. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just this giant box of beer. I'm like, yeah, that was easier than I thought.
Yeah, my beer deliveries are just like that. They just, but in the only difference is like a lot of times it's never like a handoff. Sometimes it's just like, oh yeah, it's like right there. Just pick it up when you get it. Like it's on your phone. No conversation sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
As our listeners know, like I switched careers during COVID. So now I'm the guy that Mike's talking about.
Yep.
And I could tell you from my perspective, how they've told us to handle it is basically like it's alcohol. They have to sign, but they can't sign because COVID. So I have to literally like run up, drop it, knock on the door, and then run to the other side and be like, Aria, you look 21.
You dig them up, ditch them.
Let me get my binoculars. Hold your ID up.
He's in the bushes.
Oh, my God. That's great. Dude, what do you what do you do in getting beer from North Carolina when you've got two of the best breweries in the nation in Massachusetts?
I have beer there, too. I get beer from everyone. You know, so what are the two best? What are your which ones are you talking
Treehouse about? And Trillium, man, are fantastic. Yeah. In fact, I just got a delivery yesterday from Treehouse. So
There you go. Trillium started delivering too across Massachusetts. So
nice.
Yeah, I've been enjoying Anchorage.
Anchorage. Alaska. Yep.
They're really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. Damn. All right, we'll talk about beer at the end. Let's get back. I can see like Chris's eyes glazing over. Like, here we go. The Ascendant number 4, the Kickstarter we got until Wednesday next week, right? Give us the rundown.
Technically Thursday. So Thursday. Technically till halfway through Thanksgiving. But
so if you got something to be thankful for, this is it. Let's see those dollar bills. Anyways,
exactly. Give you something to read if nothing else, right? You know, when you're hanging out with the relatives. Yeah. So, or if you're hanging out with the relatives, but Ascendant number 4. So the pitch on Ascendant is Escape Duke of Hell, millennia to debauchery, depravity, starts to feel some remorse, starts sending the bad guys back to hell, right? Fairly violently too, I might add. So it's probably a PG-13, almost kind of rated R sort of, sort of thing. But what you'll find is the whole series goes through Italy, basically. So you start out in Rome, you find your way down to Naples, cross over to Venice, and in this current issue, we actually find ourselves back in hell. So it's the issue 3 kind of left us with a cliffhanger where our main character Kale is potentially mortally injured, and if he were to die, he would find himself in hell. It's an interesting tale where his love, if you will, descends into hell to help rescue him.
I'm a fan of going like stories where they go to hell. So that's always a fun adventure.
I figure I'm going to end up there eventually.
My running joke is I'm going to hell on a scholarship.
There you go. Where all the cool people are.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, I often wonder that. I'm like, heaven's probably really boring.
Yeah, I'm sure the music in hell is better. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So, I mean, there's
and the food.
There's different interpretations of hell, though. So, like, what is hell to you guys? I guess.
So yeah, actually, it's interesting.
New Jersey.
Jersey. All right, done. Moving on.
where he now lives.
Yes. Oh, boy. That's why I say hell.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry about that.
As a New Yorker, I approve.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about that New York, New Jersey border is if you cross the GW going into Jersey, it's free. You can leave all you want, but if you want to go back the other way, it's $20. There's a cover charge to come back into New York City from Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't watch it. Yeah, they penalize.
So I'm looking through the Kickstarter right now, and it looks like you guys have all kinds of cool perks. I mean, you can get anything from just this issue if you're a diehard Wayward Raven fan, or you can get the whole series. I see trade paperbacks, but what caught my eye, and I didn't notice when I was looking through it earlier, was in some of these you have Ascendant issue 5 also.
Yes.
Oh. So this is technically for issue 4.
Yes.
Is this like a pre-order thing for issue 5 or what's going on there?
Exactly. So here's the best part. George Quadros, who's fantastic, is actually halfway done with issue 5 right now. So issue 4 is done. There's no, is it going to, if it funds, it'll be done. I'll get it eventually. It's done. It's ready to be sent to the printer. Really, we did this as we want to get the money to be able to send it to the printer, right? So it's done. Even the variant covers are done. All of that stuff. So really, now it's about the next goal is to help us fund issue 5, which basically is halfway done. I think we'll probably be able to get that out by early next year, also. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
The whole thing is a 7-book series. So mm-hmm. we're big on dead is dead, done is done, right? Once mm-hmm. once it's over, you know, there isn't this ongoing, we'll keep bringing people back and, mm-hmm. you know,
endless reboot Lazarus this, pits, reboot that. All that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, we found one more Lazarus pit. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
No magic time bullets, nothing like that.
Yeah, no, none of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Although
yeah.
we do dead make fun dead, of that, damn heroes.
Yeah, we do. We do.
But one thing about this Kickstarter too is like, and our hope is that, you know, if we can get some more lift by the end of it, is that maybe we can use it to finance 6 and 7, maybe yeah. fingers crossed, hopefully, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah, like, it really blew up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. George has signed on for the rest of the run. That's the yeah. best part, is that he's already said, yeah, dude, I love this series. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And so he signed on. Hugo, who's our colorist, is awesome as well, and we've used him on some other projects, and he's definitely excited about continuing on this one too. So, and then rounding that out, Taylor Esposito, who you guys may know, is fantastic also, and he's doing all the letters on everything. So, yeah,
awesome. I mean, this is you're in the best spot right now. That like, okay, you don't need to worry if the issue is going to be done, especially if you're a backer too, like, you know, issue 4 mm-hmm. is going to be done. So, everything you're contributing is going on to just more stuff for it. So it's a win-win in my book, I think. So,
yeah. And anyone out there, it's already met its goal. So if you contribute today, it's guaranteed to hit its goal, and, mm-hmm. you're just gonna get some cool books with it too. So it looks like a really successful campaign. You know, glad you guys got that through, and I was just really I was surprised and happy to see that there's more than just issue 4 on there. It's kind of cool.
yeah
seeing that
it started out as an add-on, and then we actually, when we hit funding, we put it on to one of the main rewards actually.
Wow, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what else do you have? Some other stretch goals too that you guys are doing?
Yeah, there are some other cool stretch goals. You know, the first one is, so we've got some stickers and stuff like that, that $45 more gets us that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then actually Alex is going to be doing some artwork as well. Mm-hmm. We have some of his artwork on there. We have some original artwork when we hit some of his stretch goals.
awesome.
So yeah.
I have an idea for a variant cover, so we're hoping to get to that point so we can throw that in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I mean, you're going to end it at 7 issues, you think, and that's the finished story, and then...
That's it. I can't say I'll never go back to the universe again. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it depends, but the whole thing really is designed to roll up to 7 issues.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of how you guys have done most of your projects, right? Like, everything is a completed trade now, and that's how you get the story, and...
Yes, okay. Yes. And the nice thing is we have, so signed, for example, mm-hmm. we have another script for that world, if you will, but it's not using the same main characters. It's not, you know, mm-hmm. so yeah. And we really like to just, you know, I like a completed story. I want to mm-hmm. feel like, okay, hey, this is, it's a little sad when you're done with something, but... You know, at the end of the day, I think it's worse when you just feel like you're dragging something out forever.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. I mean, like, you get then stuff like Batman Eternal happens, and you're like, what's going on with the story? I'm still salty about it. Sorry, I bring that up every time we talk about a story dying, and I'm just like, I mean, there's so many examples out there, but it's like, man, I bought those 52 friggin' issues, and
so when DC did those weekly books, and
pretty
much all, like, I think the Earth 2 one was really good. There was another mm-hmm. one. It was the one that led up into Batman Beyond, which was but I remember Eternal. Mike was he's still mad about it, but he was so mad about it. When they announced Batman Eternal 2, I remember him just coming to me and be like, I'm not fucking doing this. This isn't happening. Put my foot down on this.
You're not dragging me around. You know?
Out in front of the offices protesting.
Yeah. And then it was like Convergence. Then I bought into Convergence, and I'm like, damn it, I did it again. Oh my God.
Fool me 700 times, DC.
And I remember
701, never.
Yeah. And I forgot who the lead writer was on Convergence. I'm drawing a blank right now. I want to say, it wasn't Greg Pak. But anyways,
I remember approaching about a con and like asking him like what was it all about and like what was your big takeaway from the series, and like his explanation was just so bogus, and I was like, this is not unacceptable. Like I was one of those crazy fanboys that was like, oh my god, what am I doing right now? But
I'll give you the answer right now.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. Money. Well, I'm sorry. Sure, yeah. 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 I saw Captain Carrot out of cover and I paid for that issue and now I got burned. So it's like most of
us. Well, you got your money's worth. Captain Carrot was
Yeah. As long as there's a panel with Carrot, I'll pay for it. Anyways.
I do get you. That's actually been my big beef with like the big two. It's like there's no resolution. Like, I mean, event you pick up, you know, at the end, it's going to be status quo. Or if somebody dies, they're probably coming back because they got a movie deal.
Right.
You know, the only time it's like ever fun for me to read one of the big twos is when it's like a D-string character, because mm-hmm. then the writers and artists can have fun with it.
Right.
But even then, it's like they might not change it too much, you know? So
yeah,
I'm with you.
But every now and then, if it hits, that D-string character suddenly becomes the next Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Which is how I think Wolverine was basically a D-string character.
Yeah,
Daredevil was a D-string Alpha character.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting a Moon Knight TV show, so
yeah.
Like, that's the D-string of D-string right there, so.
yeah, exactly. But
you know, that's actually kind of exciting, because that, like Alex said, you could do anything with that. Like, right. No one's going to know. No one's going to be like, well, that wasn't canon. Like,
well, there will be that one. You know what I mean? There's that one
this guy. Right, this guy Chris. Will know.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, back in 1972, Moon Knight, you know, he wore blue for one day, and they need to do that again, or whatever.
That's not how it happened in the comics.
That's that time he lost his pinky toe, and he never really had his balance right.
He's going to be more like, Chris is going to be more like that for the MODOK show, though. He's going to be flipping through his pages like, that's not a good depiction.
Oh, no. That's going to be just like frantic masturbation, because I'm so happy it exists.
So I feel like I should drop this on you.
Quick, before they take it away.
In one of the early Damn Heroes strips, I actually put MODOK as a lawn gnome.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you ever spot that, let me know.
Yeah, that was one of the things I loved about Damn Heroes, was like the things you put in the background, right? The Easter eggs. And I don't think we really talked about Damn Heroes, so we'll get back to the Kickstarter in a second, but like, what is Damn Heroes?
Sure. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically us making fun of superheroes, and you know, it's an ongoing series, unlike the rest of our stuff, which has a clear ending. Damn Heroes has been ongoing for like about 8 years now. The elevator pitch is, a guy goes 5 miles over the speed limit in a town full of superheroes and has to do 5 years of community service.
Mm.
His landlord is the preeminent supervillain of Hero City, and his parole officer is an overly righteous but kind of dumb superhero. We've been expanding the roster here and there, but we've kind of kept it to that core group. Even like recently, I think we introduced Sebastian's the main character. He's the everyman of the city. We actually introduce his parents, and they become superheroes before he ever becomes a superhero.
Lucky him. And
yeah,
one of the best parts of the comic for me is it's free, too, right?
Yeah.
On the website. So.
Yep,
free absolutely. On damnheroes.com.
Yep. Yeah.
Free every Wednesday. Brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in fact, you like,
we haven't missed a Wednesday, ever, have we?
God, no. Even, like, deaths in the family.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I mean, that's the dedication, yeah. But also, thankfully, having a buffer helps.
I mean, I had to draw one of them, so
yeah, no, more than one.
Wasn't very good.
To be fair, more than one.
It's like a stick figure army setting.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, absolutely. We're gonna have to find that strip at some point. I know it's in there somewhere, but yeah,
I'm gonna look for it.
Yeah. I literally have all of them in front of me. So.
Oh. And you publish them as well, right? Like, you can buy some of those off your website?
Yeah, you can get them from our website. You can get them from Amazon. You know, whatever makes the most sense.
Check this out. This is actually one of the early versions when we were doing color tests of the covers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly brown.
Brown and mistake.
one of a kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a chase right there.
Yeah.
I think you can bury that one.
what do you want for the background? Maybe poop brown.
Wait for the Damn Heroes.
Could you shit on it for me and then kind of mix it around a little? Yeah. That's perfect.
I think one of these might even have a typo on your name.
Amazing. That's how much
you hear. You got to wait for the Damn Hero Cinematic Universe, then you sell it for big bucks.
Big bucks.
Yes. But staying in my vault under a desk somewhere. Propping up my art table.
There you go.
Somewhere like 1,000 years from now when they dig up your house, they're gonna think that was like, you know, some kind of Bible, right? Like,
oh. No, they're going to look at it like,
this is what people were like back then. Yeah. Clue.
So they're going to be like, oh, wow, that guy from the Vampire the Masquerade TV show wrote a comic.
It's the last piece of literature on Earth. Oh, my God.
There's enough of them in the warehouse, so yeah, it'll survive. Yeah.
We have so many people to apologize for if that, to that's the question.
I just think of that the sci-fi episode of Stanley Bemis where he has all the books to read in the world, and he breaks his glasses. This is kind of the opposite, where he only finds one book to read for the rest of his life.
Oh my god!
But there are thousands of them everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. It's like the Gideons at the hotel.
Yeah. That right there is a one shot. Sebastian in the future. Yeah, he has to read his Damn Heroes books.
Everywhere he goes. Oh, that's awesome.
And Winds of Winter, and he can't.
Oh, no, there's no Winds of Winter, only Damn Heroes.
No, awesome. No, that's an alternate universe somewhere, that's it. Winds of Winter exists only in another timeline.
Yeah. My favorite part is D-Nation, where they finally introduce, like, Winds of Winter, and, like, George R. R. Martin's a zombie signing the book.
The end of the world. That's amazing.
Listen, if he suddenly says he's releasing that book in December...
Oh yeah,
just get a helmet. Seriously, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
what did they tell you with tornadoes? Stay in the door frame of or in the basement, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, the door.
Well, I'm safe here.
Yeah, there you go. It's funny because he tweeted the other day, like, oh, something about he's working on, and he abbreviated it WoW, right? And everybody's like, guys, I think he's just playing the WoW expansion. I don't think he's right. Because, like, Shadowlands came out or is coming out of the new expansion in a while, and everybody's like, but he never, like, spelled out Winds of Winter. He just spelled WoW. Like, he's playing video games. He's not writing the book.
Well, he literally, because a few weeks ago, that game he's working on with the guys you like.
Oh, From Software. Yeah, he's
making They announced, like, oh, yeah, that's still happening. And it's like, we haven't heard from you from 2 years.
Right.
We all know George R. R. Martin just stopped writing, and now you're trying to figure out what to do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's Scrooge McDucking it, right? Basically, he's like swimming in gold coins somewhere, and that's it. Yeah.
To be fair, that's what I would be doing if I was him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a life. You should sanitize the gold coins first, but then go ahead. Swim through all
he's got enough money to cure the COVID.
No, yeah, he's got it. But, okay, before we get off track, we'll circle back to the Kickstarter. Ascendant number four.
Infernal Exodus.
Where can we go to find that? Where can we send everybody? What's the best path to get there?
Sure. I think, actually, Alex could probably put up a link, but it is, if you search the Ascendant number four in Kickstarter or Infernal Exodus, you should be able to find it. Okay.
Waywardraven.com. That's the easiest way.
And there you go.
Click on the big damn Kickstarter link.
Yeah, that's how I found it, because it says, you know, back it on Kickstarter. There's a big button, and if I can see it and find it, I think most people would be good to say.
Hey, if you want to be super fancy, everybody, go into the show notes down below, and they'll find a link there.
Ah. Awesome. Well, but what if we want everyone to follow these guys? Where do we send them, guys?
Ah, that we can do. So you can always go to at Wayward Raven on Twitter. You can do Wayward Raven Media on Instagram and Facebook. Myself, I'm at Panther Pitt on Insta and Twitter. And Mark C. Frankel in Facebook. I found that out recently because someone couldn't find me. They're like, I look for Mark Frankel. I found a dead actor. I'm like, that's
fine.
Brains.
That's not me. And I'm ASAP Can Draw on pretty much every social media platform, so you should be able to find it easily.
Awesome. Guys, it's always great to have you here.
And of course, waywardraven.com.
Waywardraven.com.
That's where I go. You know, all the stuff. But thanks again for being on the show. We'd love to have you back sooner this time, maybe.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, we're back.
Whoa.
Awesome. So check it out. Ascendant number 4, Kickstarter, waywardraven.com. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. And got to get those guys on more often. It's been too long.
You're going to support some good guys. And I didn't say it in the interview, but like you can get almost their entire catalog for like $70.
Yeah.
Through this. So do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after you're done listening to the show. And
Right. Then go do that.
Yeah.
Comic news. Hasbro and Marvel have announced Transformers and X-Men crossover.
What?
It's not a comic series, though.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's a Transformers toy of the X-Jet and from the X-Men animated series. So we have the awesome animated series, but this is a toy, and it's a transforming X-Jet. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. I kind of want it because it not only is it like transforms into kind of an amalgam of a bunch of different X-Men.
Oh, cool.
So it's got like Cyclops' head and Wolverine's claws, but then they look like Gambit's blaster, like a charge up thing. And like there's a bunch of different cool stuff happening. So hopefully, I mean, it'd be cooler if it was they made this a comic.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. The X-Jet turning into a Transformer in the comic.
It's such an easy premise, too. Because it's right. Like, okay, Transformers come. They kind of look like Sentinels.
Right.
X-Men fight Transformers.
It's a Sentinel virus that infects vehicles or something.
It writes itself, Marvel. Let's get this done.
We'll give you that one for free. Marvel has announced that writer Jed McKay and artist Carlos Magno are teaming up for a 5-issue series. The series is called Avengers Mech Strike. And exactly how it sounds, Avengers in mech suits fighting bad guys. Take my money.
It's one of those things that's like it's so stupid, but I want it. Because I saw the art and I'm just like, and of course it's just like Iron Man and the Hulk Buster armor, whatever. Right. But then there's like Cap in the background and like a mech suit that looks like something from Power Rangers. I'm
my God.
This right here is everything.
Right.
Put it on my poll list.
I think like as far as, you know, cost and mobility, mech suits will never take off in our lifetime. But man, I hope so. Like,
well, you saw in Japan, they made Gundam and they made it walk.
Yeah, they made it walk.
It's coming,
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Coming.
Oh, please. In the pages of Marvel's Voices, Indigenous Voices, number 1, they announced a new series coming from creative team Taboo and Benjamin Jackendoff. The series will follow Kushala, an Apache warrior in the 19th century, who became the Sorcerer Supreme. So, pretty cool concept. We get another take on the Sorcerer Supreme from a long time ago. And an Indigenous voice. I mean, that's pretty cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, I like the idea of going back into the past and finding, like, different... Because, like, some of these things, like, we've seen with the prehistoric Avengers...
Yeah.
...that some of these concepts can live throughout the timeline in Marvel history. So going back and, like, if somebody has an idea for a 19th century whatever...
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds cool, and it doesn't have to affect continuity. It can just be a story that happens. It's just a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I might check this one out.
Yeah.
Taboo being the guy from Black Eyed Peas, apparently. I'm an old man, so I don't know these things.
Oh, yeah. He was writing comics for a while. Yeah.
And, these two are doing that Werewolf by Night series, too.
Cool.
And I want to say that I checked it 3 times. It is Jackendoff. That is his last name. Do not laugh.
Do not laugh. We're an adult podcast. Keep your composure, everyone.
That being said, it's kind of funny,
Jackendoff. Yes. It is. Probably the most exciting comic news for me and you this week. Jeff Lemire announced, and that's hard to beat Avengers in mech suits, but Jeff Lemire announced a new edition of the Black Hammer line of comics. That's it. That's all it could have been. I would have been excited. Called Black Hammer Visions. It's an anthology series. This just keeps getting better and better. It's an anthology series that will feature different characters each issue with different creative teams. Issue number 1 is going to follow Golden Gale and is going to be written by Patton Oswalt.
I told you it's going to get better. We're not done yet. Other comic creators attached to future issues include Jeff Johns, Chip Zdarsky. Honestly, we should have led with Chip Zdarsky. Goddamn. Yeah. Cullen Bunn, Kelly Thompson, represent. Also Cullen Bunn, represent. Mariko Tamaki, and Cecil Castellucci. Couple of Fortress of Comic News adventurers writing that.
Yeah.
Cool to see. I'm excited. I mean, I love the Black Hammer universe, and to see other people's perspectives on it, really cool.
So, I love that Patton Oswalt is like getting more into comics. Like, he's always been kind of a fringe comic guy, and always actually in it.
Yeah.
The rest of the people, I'm so happy. Like, Chip Zdarsky doing a Black Hammer book, awesome.
Yep.
And I just, like every Black Hammer book, this will be on my pull list, and I can't wait for it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That being said, I can't make heads or tails of what the fuck Jeff Johns is doing.
Yeah. The fact that he popped up here on here was confusing. I wasn't really excited. I was more confused.
This has been the past 3 weeks of my emotional Jeff Johns moments.
Yeah.
We read Three Jokers. I vomited on it.
Yep.
And then I proclaim that I'm done with Jeff Johns and I don't want to read any more of his stuff.
Yep.
Then he announced he's doing a book with Gary Frank at Image. And I'm like, that sounds kind of interesting. I think I'll read that.
Gary Frank.
Then they reconfirm that Gary Frank and him are doing the Batman Volume 3, Earth 1. I'm like, oh, I like Batman Earth 1.
You're like, oh, I like that.
And then he says, we have another Three Jokers story we want to tell. We're going to do that soon. And I vomited again. And now he's popping up on this, and I'm like, that sounds really cool. I hope he doesn't do Abraham Slam. But other than that, it'd be really cool.
Your head's in the toilet, like, oh, that sounds really cool.
But I was convinced that Jeff Johns was on the outs at DC.
Right.
And now it seems like he's not, because he's got two Batman books.
They're like, oh, no, you don't. You got two other things to write. You can't just leave. I don't know. We'll see. And well, I guess we'll see, like, if he actually, maybe he's just like over DC stuff, and maybe we'll see that come out in like his other projects that are not DC titles. I don't know. Maybe he's just kind of over.
I was thinking when they announced Volume 3 of Earth 1, I was like, okay, that's probably been done, and it's just like been sitting in the background. So he's not doing that currently. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But then when he was like, we want to do more Three Jokers, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, did he not read anybody's Twitter comments? Or, like, Instagram comments? Like, did they not? Does nobody read that stuff? I don't.
It's,
because I saw them.
Yeah, it's not even that for me either. It's just, I was convinced with everything going on with the Justice League and, like, how that all played out and how his name is being, you know, dragged through the mud, too, with that.
Right.
I was like, maybe DC's slowly just like, hey, just go away. And now it seems like, no, that's not what's going on, because they proclaimed that he's doing more stuff.
I guess we'll see. But either way, let's not shit on the fact that Black Hammer's coming back, and we love that series. So.
Yeah. And actually, I can start what we're reading this week.
Oh,
because I read from the world of Black Hammer, Barbalian Red Planet number 1.
Ooh, yeah.
Really, really good book. It starts at the end where Barbalian's in chains and he's being sentenced on Mars because he left Mars and shacked up with humans for so long, and that makes him a traitor.
Right.
But then it kind of jumps into the story of him back in the 80s during kind of the gay rights movement, like the initial gay rights movement, and especially during the AIDS debacle. And it's him kind of trying to come to terms with who he is. So I think that's going to be the story, is Barbalian realizing that he's gay.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Because there's moments throughout there where he kind of gets the idea. He starts to sympathize with some of the protesters. There's things going on. But I really liked it. And cool. Black Hammer, cool stuff.
Nice. Just really quick, the last week I had to just run through the stuff I didn't get to talk about. Legion of Superheroes 10, kind of talked about that a couple episodes ago. And this is pretty much the we're closing up, wrapping up the Legion storyline, which is, I mean, it's good. We see a lot more characters on New Krypton, like Zod and stuff like that. They're finally starting to tackle like who the Gold Lantern is. So it's all really cool stuff. Red Atlantis number one, I did read that because of Stephanie Phillips and Robert Carey on the art. You had talked about that a couple weeks ago. Great story, espionage. Russian attacks on polling booths, so it's a little relevant, I would say. Talks of ending World War III, and this, like, she's like a sleeper agent, doesn't know it. Pretty cool story. We talked about that already. Green Lantern, season 2, number 9. This is the Liam Sharp, Grant Morrison book. This is a multiverse story that kind of follows the love between Carol Ferris and Hal Jordan. This is a Carol Ferris from another multiverse, another universe comes and is dealing with this galactic being that destroyed her planet. And so it's like seeking out, what it does is it gets like Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris to get together, and that's how it identifies a new universe and like comes and destroys it or something like that. So we get Carol Ferris as Star Sapphire, which is always great, right? She's okay. That's yep. Cool. That's the one that shows up for another universe, like, oh shit, you guys better watch out. And so the next issue is teased that we're going to get like a multi-crisis war next issue. So that's pretty cool. You know how Grant Morrison likes his big titles, like multi-crisis. What does that even mean?
Exactly.
Did you talk about Dark Knight's Death Metal Infinite Hour Extreme number one?
I kind of did and I kind of didn't, because I wanted to talk to you about it, because I personally did not enjoy this title.
Oh, you didn't.
Uh-huh. So this falls under the Deadpool Harley Quinn rule.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where Lobo is just kind of too edgy 90s for me.
Okay. I appreciate it just because it's so different than everything else going on with Death Metal. I can understand it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I love the fact that he was fighting with the Batman Who Frags. I thought that was funny. That was the part I really liked. And the fact that he can't get a drink at the bar because he killed everyone at the bar, I thought that joke was like really funny. And how the bartender's like, no, I can't serve you, you ripped off my arms. I thought that was, I don't know, I got a really good kick out of that. The part two was interesting, with Becky Cloonan and Rags Morales, because there's three parts to that story. That's Lobo looking for Death Metal, and he finds Black Monday, who is the Death Metal version of Solomon Grundy. And
which, by the way, great joke.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a great one. Yeah. Hawkman, they get teleported to the Gem World, which is like, they're just poking the fun that like Gem World is so stupid that it happens to be the place they need to go. And then we find out there is some stuff related to the main story that, like, the key to the key to saving everyone is the blood that is in Lobo, because of the regenerative properties. And then part three, we get Sam Humphries and Dennis Cohen. Sam Humphries, if we remember from Dial H, one of my favorite stories from last year. We get Lobo Land, where they send so Lobo has created his own pocket universe, essentially, where all the Justice League are just versions of Lobo, and that's where he sends the Batman Who Frags there to get the shit beat out of him indefinitely by the Lobo Justice League. So that was a pretty interesting way to wrap up the issue. That was like one issue where that had like so many different parts, and I actually enjoyed each part, you know, and they're pretty relevant, I would say. And Justice Year Zero number 10, Tom Taylor, Antonio on the art. So we left off with Jay Garrick being possessed, and Flash is trying to stop him. And we know it's the Joker possessing Jay Garrick, so he grabs a kitchen knife or a cleaver and starts running through the streets and slitting people's throats at Flash speed. Yeah, Tom Taylor is not pulling any punches in this issue. Superman tells him to stop, and he's like, poor choice of words, because that's one of the Joker's favorite lines across all universes. He runs himself straight into a brick wall as Jay Garrick, and that's how the issue ends. So, crazy. Kick-Ass versus Hit-Girl, number one. Steve Niles and Marcelo Friesen on it. We leave off where the Kick-Ass storyline ended, where the Kick-Ass's sister's husband's funeral, because she had to kill him because she knew Kick-Ass's, she knew her identity. She still has all the money that she stole from the mob bosses. She starts burning all the excess, and she kills the guys that she hired, like the goons that she paid more money than the goons that hired them, because they were trying to kill her. And then we see that Hit Girl is on her way to Albuquerque, so she must be tracking down Kick-Ass, I'm sure, because it's called Kick-Ass versus Hit Girl. I'm guessing they're going to fight. I don't know. Solid
person. Wow, limb there.
Yeah. Deceased, Hope at World's End, number 14. Tom Taylor, Marco Fila. Nightshade opens a portal for the zombies to get into the sanctuary, because we know most of the remaining heroes are in a sanctuary. Lex Luthor has come up with this ultimate plan to kill the zombies. But what he didn't tell everybody is Pied Piper and Blink go into another pocket universe to lure all the zombies in there with his, you know, Pied Piper powers. The Trinity is trying to hold back Black Adam while they move all the zombies into this pocket, into this portal. And then I think they're going to try to seal them off with those two heroes left there. So the caveat here is the two heroes have to sacrifice themselves to save everybody. Batman, James Tynion IV, and Carlo Pagulayan, and Danny Mickey on the art. They both worked on the art. Batman's still fighting with the Ghostmaker. This is where we leave off in the last issue. Ghostmaker talks about how he took care of all these things. I stopped this arms deal. I took all these corrupted cops out, and this is all from my private jet before I even landed in Gotham. Well, Batman starts explaining things to him like, well, you ruined all the legwork that I did for these cases. Like, you stopped the arms dealer, but I had tracers, you know, put in those guns to, like, find out who was behind, you know, selling it to the arms dealers and stuff. Like, so he had bigger plans and longer ways to, better ways to put these people behind bars. And then, you know, the thing is that Ghostmaker's chasing Clown Killer. I know these names are a little wonky, but Clown Killer goes to kill one of the clowns, who's Harley Quinn. And that's kind of where the fight takes all four of them. And that's where the next issue is going to go.
A little on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit. it is like a 13-year-old who comes up with the name. So also, I mean, one could say Batman is a little on the nose as well.
Well, I mean, Clown Killer around killing clowns.
Justice League 56. I think this is the stuff from this week now, right? Joshua Williamson and Zermanico on the art.
Yes.
This is the big bad. I was a little confused because they don't tell you, like, Justice League 56 or Death Metal 5, which one to read first. I kind of figured out it was Justice League you read first, because they kind of go one after the other.
Okay.
Right.
I didn't read Justice League yet, so...
Oh, okay. So, basically, Justice League fights with the Omega Knight and the Legion of Doom, and Lex grabs the Legion of Doom, and he goes, we're going to go help the Trinity fight Castle Bat, because that's where the Trinity leaves off. And that's basically what's happening in Death Metal 5, by Snyder and Capullo. So you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Lex shows up, and they don't really explain why, but this is the issue where... explaining how he shows up is in Justice League 56.
Okay.
And at the end of that, they're like, continuing Death Metal 5. I'm like, but they didn't organize it right. They come out with like a thing of like what you need to read in order. That's what I was a little confused about.
I get a little frustrated with, and both companies do this.
Yeah.
When they come out with books on the same week and they don't have like, they tie into each other.
Right.
But it's not like currently with Axis or Ten of Swords, it's part one, part two, part three, so on and so forth. So I can understand what the line is. But then, like, I don't know, with this, like you said, yeah, like, which one do I read first? Well, I have to read one to figure out which one to read
yeah.
first.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I was like, so I tried to read through, like, half of one, and I'm like, I guess I start this one first. I don't know. Lex shows up to help the Trinity as they're fighting the Castle Bat. Castle Bat is, like, transformed into this giant monster mech thing. He explains they need the anti-crisis. Now, stick with me here. They need the anti-crisis energy instead of the crisis energy. Now, that's the mistake they made before with the original Death Metal. was that Wonder Woman used the crisis energy, but they really need the anti-crisis energy. Then Batman and Superman kind of reveal to her, like, hey, I'm dead. Batman's dead. He's been, you know, keeping himself alive with the Black Lantern ring. And Superman pretty much says he can't reverse all the shit that was done to him from the, like, the anti-life equation that he's, like, turning into Doomsday, right? So they finally admit that to Wonder Woman. Everybody's grouped up to fight. Wonder Woman takes the gets the medal from Lobo, where he found the Lobo issue. He's gathering all the death medals, and she gets the 10th medal, I believe. It's really hard to keep track of all these medals. And she's basically taking that down to Hephaestus in the forge to, you know, the Greek. Is that how you pronounce his name? Hephaestus?
I would have said Hephaestus, but Hephaestus. That's also because I'm very, very German-blooded, so... Yeah.
Well, we know he's the Greek weapon forger. So she's taking that metal down there to create this ultimate weapon to destroy the Batman who laughs. The idea here is the villains are all gathered up. Like, what can we do? They're going to destroy Earth because they say Earth is the center of everything, and it's getting everybody to. That's where everything's centered around. So they're like, let's destroy the core. And then as they're doing that, the Batman who laughs is fighting Perpetua, and he realizes what they're doing. So he just starts sending down his multiverse of worlds towards them. And we get glimpses of those worlds. And I think next issue, they're going to have to fight those worlds. And that was pretty cool. So, you know, this series really doesn't disappoint, I think. I don't know what your thoughts on it were, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I think that the next issue is like a spinoff issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to really delve deep into what these worlds are.
Yeah, and I can't.
I bet you we get like two spinoffs until we get another issue.
Yeah,
I like this issue, even though it is a lot of exposition.
Oh yeah,
it was
a lot of comic book science going on there.
I'm also at the point where it's like, how are they going to get out of this? Because I think this was put together during a different time, and it was meant to kind of not have such a centralized DC universe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to do this like 5G thing. Yeah. But now we're not doing that, allegedly. So I'm very like into how this is all going to conclude.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see where the fuck this is all going.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. I really like the moment in there. You didn't mention it, but when they are fighting and the Darkest Knight realizes, like, wait, they're doing something down there, and Petra's like, oh no you don't, get over here, and then start punching them.
Yeah
That made me laugh.
Oh no you don't, pow. And then I had just a couple more. I started Jason Aaron's Thor run. I'm on volume one of that. Really good. A lot of stuff going on with Thor's family. I know nothing about, but it's all interesting stuff. It's all entertaining.
Where did you start? Is it called Thor, God of Thunder?
I think so. He doesn't have his hammer, and he's like in the he's in the realm of death.
Okay, you're in the right place. Yep.
And then Rorschach number two, Tom King and Jorge Fornes on the art. I don't know how you feel about this issue. Not a whole lot happening yet. We really spent a whole lot of time trying to figure out who the guy was that was the new Rorschach that, you know, that had the assassination attempt, or the assassination, and they go to his apartment, the Rorschach. They find out the story of how he killed this woman's husband in the apartment building, dressed up as Rorschach, and the girl that was with him had never visited him until the night they, like, you know, dressed up and went on their assassination thing. So there's definitely some secret stuff going on here. I don't know, like, he was hiding something, like he was part of some secret society. Maybe he wrote some code into his comics that was kind of referenced. They did, like, a Black Freighter thing where they, like, took a side to, like, a comic he was writing and went through that whole story. It's not bad. I'm interested to see. Give me a couple more issues to get me hooked, because I'm like, yeah, I'm interested in what's going on, but you can't keep dragging me through with all this, you know, mystery and no resolve kind of thing, you know? Like, let's, I want to see where this is going, so.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, I was, yeah. The issue was kind of,
Yeah.
And that's the best way to put it.
Tom King has been doing that for a while, so let's wrap this up, you know?
Yeah, I'll give him a shot, but I'm just kind of like, what was the point of this issue other than to, like, be clever and to tell, like, a one-off story about this dude who apparently can't get laid and then is mad about it and kills people?
Right. I'm like, I don't know what he's really trying to get at here, but I guess we'll find out. But that's what I've been reading over the last couple weeks. Finally, I listened to Chris, picked up a Marvel book, so we'll see how it goes.
So I also had Venom number 30, and this is the end of the Venom Beyond story, the arc. Basically, Venom beats Virus, or whatever his name is, Codex. And they kind of did this cool thing where they give Dylan, Eddie's son, not only memories of having a father, Eddie, in his world, but also memories from his counterpart in this alternate universe of his mother being alive. So now he has both in his head.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool little ending to the story. And then the epilogue to it is, hey, we go back to the 616 and everything's black. Guess what? Null's coming.
Oh boy.
And so the next issue is going to be the King in Black. So it was a good little wrap up to the story, but it was really just trying to get us to that point. And I'm looking forward to King in Black personally. Captain America number 25.
Oh boy.
It was another Ta-Nehisi Coates issue that I didn't really like, but it did have one bright spot. There's a backup story in here that is phenomenal. It's Cap giving a eulogy at this guy's funeral. And this guy was an immigrant who came over from an Asian country. They didn't specify, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, worked nights and did all this stuff to get his law degree. And he was like a friend of Cap throughout the years. And it's just him giving the eulogy and talking about basically why people like him, immigrants, make this country great and blah, 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 blah. I would pick this issue up just to read those last 8 pages. I loved it. It was great.
That's awesome.
Commanders in Crisis number 2. I don't know if I'm going to continue with this book or not. I haven't decided. It's just, it's another one of those books that's trying to do something and there's an audience for it. And even though, like, they do it in the realm of superheroes and multiverse, like, they hit all those notes that we love. Superheroes, multiverses, big, massive event, something coming to destroy the world, all this stuff. But then there's the underlying story just isn't hitting with me. So, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I finished it, and I was kind of in a very meh state about the book.
Mm-hmm.
I know people out there are really enjoying this book, but for me personally, it's something's not clicking, for me.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
That sucks.
But what is clicking is Amazing Spider-Man, number 53.
There you go.
It's funny because this issue was, like, basically leading up to the reveal of who Kindred is to Spider-Man. So Spider-Man now knows who Kindred is and why he wants him dead. But it was like one big lead up to something that we as the reader already knew. So it's kind of strange. But the Kindred story altogether has been really great. I definitely recommend picking up Amazing Spider-Man right now. It's been good. And then my last book was Teen Titans number 47, which was a terrible ending that just leads into that whole stupid endless winter thing that I don't care about.
You're so excited for that.
It's... So Damian's been leading them on this trail, and I want to know what's going on with Damian because he's no longer going to be Robin. He's done with all that life and this and that. Mm-hmm. But he's been leading the Teen Titans on, and they lead them to this new base where they meet up with the old Teen Titans, and they become friends because whatever. And they're like, but there's something coming, and then the next page is endless winter tie-in stuff.
Mm.
It's unfortunate because I really enjoyed this run of Teen Titans. And this was the final issue, and it was a bad way to end it.
Damn.
and I don't have the resolution of what the fuck's going on with Damian. And I probably never will, because I don't know what's going on with DC right now.
They ditched you. Kicked you to the curb.
It was just unfortunate, because it was a cool idea to do with Damian. Like, Damian went over the edge.
Yep.
Damian killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no longer, like, he can't be Robin anymore, but he doesn't want to be the old Damian, and, like, he's at this crossroads in his life, and now they're probably not going to touch it, which is unfortunate.
That sucks.
But what isn't unfortunate, Mike, is you on the internet, so where can people follow you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you, Andrew, the show?
They find the show at fortresscomicnews.com. Everything we do is right there on the handy-dandy website, and you can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter or at chrisrunt.com. That's chrisrunt.com. Remember, everybody, if you're enjoying the show, to give us a 5-star review on the podcatcher of your choice, or to like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTubes. If you want to go the extra mile, we got the Patreon. Patreon.com/ForceComicNews. As I said at the top of the show, we got the Discord channel as well, where you can come talk to us or talk to other people who like comics. We're just trying to build community there, along with the guys from I Freaking Love Comics and a few other shows as well. So thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.